time for Toronto's Top Line.
I'm doing solo bits at the NHL draft.
No. Naylor was there with it.
Yeah, I guess the nail gun kicked around.
We got our main man in
here. All right, Jack is in here. What's happening, buddy? Thanks for popping
in. You guys are on the air right now?
Yeah, we're on the
shock sometimes.
All right.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Fine, what's wrong?
I'm just concerned about you. You sound like you're stuffed up or you're...
Yeah, you're fighting something. You're fighting it.
You got the spring flu?
No, I don't think I got a flu.
Is it a cold? It's a cold?
Yeah, well, it's... Dude, you've been working out too much. I have been. I went to the gym today.
And you probably had your daughter...
Hang on a sec. What was your routine today? Chest and back.
No. Chest, back.
Tries.
Arms, yes. You do the triceps. Absolutely.
You do the tri pull down machine?
I do over the head. That's how I roll. Some abs.
The bands?
No, I don't do any of that stuff.
No?
I kind of just walk around, and if I see something that makes sense, I'll hop in. And
but, dude, busy, why don't you write down a routine and follow the routine?
I need someone to hook me up with a routine. I don't know what my routine should be.
Go on Google and just like say, what's a good chest and back workout? There's a ton of stuff.
Well, but I do the standard stuff, like incline, regular. Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not in. I think sometimes people go to the gym and they try to pretend like they really know what they're doing, or they can find a way to pump themselves up without actually having help. And a lot of times, I'm sure they're no different than I am. They don't have a clue what they're doing in there. And I'm kind of in a position where I don't want to look like an ass. Like, I don't want to try to move something around.
Here's
and then...
what you do. What does your gym have classes?
Like spin classes?
No, but the other, like the pump classes.
Everything. That's what you do. Every day you go and do one class, and you're done. You don't have to walk around like an idiot.
I will say this, though. I did a class at Life Fitness. And I went in, and it was me. I was the only male in the class. A lot of female, I guess, housewives or people, because the hour of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so sore because they did about 800 squats. Like, it was all squats. Everything was into a squat position. And I was rattled because squats are my least favorite thing.
Legs in general. That's my problem, is I'm starting to kind of get things going here. I've been going for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe more than that. I can't get into the whole legs thing. I hate it.
I don't mind a leg press.
Yeah, leg press is okay. I can do a leg press, and then you get the calves going a little bit.
You can work the calves off of that. But like doing these classes where you've got the bar on your shoulder and it's squat jumps and everything's down in a squat, push-ups, like it's an unreal workout. But when you go from 0 to 60 in that, it's you feel like an idiot because you're leaking, you're sweating so bad. And your form is terrible. You're just trying to get through. So I sat in the back. I just did my thing. And once I would wear down and get tired, I would just take a little collective pause. And I told the teacher, I said, like, this is new for me. Not in here to break any records. But I was sore for a week.
That's the problem, right? If you go into hero mode too quickly, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, and the next day I took yoga because I thought, okay, I could stretch the muscles out and... It was a struggle even in yoga.
Well, when I did have a trainer years ago when I was doing that Tough Mudder, and I had a couple of guys that were great, and they made it very clear that like squats and lunges and all your core work, that's the actual stuff you got to work on.
Yeah.
Like if you really want to be healthy and feel like you're in shape, you can't just have big arms and big shoulders.
Yeah, the beach workout.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for you. It's all your core. It's all your abs. It's in your hips and all that kind of stuff. And I got nothing going on there. but yeah, I'm feeling it a little bit. I think I'll be okay. I got to get through this week. I got to get through next week because you just know things are going to start happening soon.
Well, you're getting sick. So if you miss a day, you know the Leafs are going to acquire somebody.
That's what I'm concerned about, is I'm going
to
take a day off.
You're going to miss the second hottest 22 minutes in the NHL.
I missed that last year. The PK trade, Stamkos signing,
and
Taylor
Scotty
Hall
Mac
trade.
owned it.
Was it me, you, and Scotty Mac?
Oh, yeah. Scotty Mac was awesome.
Sports Center still plays clips Scotty Mac, like announcing the trades.
Really?
And
oh, yeah.
Do we have a sound of Scotty Mac announcing it? When you hear
that, are you like laces out?
No, whatever. I don't really care. But I was rattled because I've told this story many times. Like, the night before, I woke up in the middle of the night. I thought I was dying. Like, I actually thought I was having, like, a heart attack or something.
You had something going on.
And then the next morning, I was toast. Like, I was out of it. But as the day went on, I started feeling better. And by 4 o'clock, I felt fine.
Yeah.
So I had called in the troops and said, hey, you got to bring Scotty Mac in here at, like, 10 in the morning because I didn't want to screw over Scotty.
Exactly.
At, you know, 3 o'clock, hey, can you rush him in here?
Yeah.
It's not fair to him. You want to give the guy an opportunity to prepare for the show and be ready and all that kind of stuff. So out of respect to him, I'm like, I got to give him a heads up here. So I gave him a heads up early in the morning. I said, forget it, I'm out. Yeah. Like, I'm not coming in today at, like, 9:30 in the morning. And then at 3 o'clock, all the trades started happening and the signings.
Crazy.
And by 4 o'clock, I felt like 100%. I missed out on everything.
I'm
worried about it.
I want to hear Scotty Mac announcing, like, were we on?
I can't imagine we would have that. Like, why would we have that in the...
We would absolutely have it. It was like, not record-breaking stuff, but
But why would we keep that, though? Why would you keep that in the tank? Here's Scotty Mac announcing something on the air. Why would you do that?
It was the greatest day of our show.
It was pretty good.
Well, I'm sure it was a great show.
It was a crazy show. I just remember, like, thinking, what the hell's going on here?
Well, let's put a Toronto spin on a big story in Ottawa right now, because we talked about this yesterday, the idea of Dion Phaneuf being asked to waive his no trade and no movement clause, and that broke yesterday or over the weekend, that in fact Ottawa had approached him and said, can you please do this for us? And now Bobby Mack came out earlier today and said it's not going to happen, and Dreg said it as well on the morning show.
Well, right. If you're an Ottawa Senators fan, first off, don't even think about being critical of this decision, because it's his right. He signed it in his contract. It's like anything else you agree to. If you're going to go over to somebody and somebody signs a contract and says, put this in my contract where I could do this and this and this, and then they come up to you and say, can you, like, maybe get rid of that, everyone would say no.
Everyone would say no, but you're asking fans to be reasonable, and that just doesn't happen. Now, I get the impression, like, people in Ottawa are pretty cool with Dion, but could you imagine if at the height of the hatred in Toronto, this came out that Dion said, no, I'm not doing it? Leaf fans would go postal. They would absolutely go crazy. They would be just completely unhinged.
Well, the Leaf fans dealt with it with a bunch of guys when they all said no thanks.
Right, the Muskoka Five. Not going anywhere.
What was it called again?
The Muskoka. I don't even know why it's called that. Nobody ever has an explanation. The Muskoka Five.
Enjoyed their time in Toronto. They loved being off early April, go up to Muskoka mid-April when every other team is playing hockey and trying to win things.
Who was the Muskoka Five? Like, can you name
Caberle,
them?
Tucker, McCabe, Sundin.
I think Kabina was in there for some
Pavel
reason.
Kabina?
I feel like Pavel Kabina somehow weaseled his way
into
that.
Was that guy a good player here in Toronto?
Nah, he was okay.
I played with him. He was a good player.
Yeah, he had a hard shot. A really hard shot.
It was a Fergler signing. $5 million a year.
Yeah, it was a bit over the top, I would say. Came out from Tampa, I think he came from.
Yeah, he was a good... I thought he was a pretty good player in Tampa.
Slow
but
as molasses,
man, he
though.
Was... Here's the problem. I feel like he was a long... He was in Tampa a long time, kind of the face of the back end there for a while, and they just got dummied. Him and Roman Hamrlick, they just ran amok there. And I remember Vinny LeCavalier had such bad habits. Like, this guy would be the last guy back trying to curl and drag people. He's 19 years old. And they just let him do whatever he wanted there.
Well, and then eventually Tortorella came in, and
man, they
everything
won a cup.
Kind of changed. But, yeah, you're right. Listen, the players, they sign these contracts, they have the right to do it. And teams will turn on players whenever they feel like they want to turn on players. I don't blame players at all. I'm not saying that people should be blaming Dion. What I'm saying is there will be people that
Absolutely.
Will take runs at him because it's not their life. This is just a fantasy world for them. They don't want to lose Mathot, or they don't want to lose CeCe, or whoever potentially they're going to have to get rid of or lose because of Dion. But this is happening league-wide, and it just makes me realize how great of a spot the Maple Leafs have found themselves in.
Right.
And it makes you wonder, even though I think Dion was clearly a part of the old regime, and they had decided we got to move on from him, we got to move on from Phil, and it all makes sense. It does make you wonder if they were looking ahead, knowing, hey, Vegas is coming, and he may not waive at that point. Like, take advantage while you can, and move on from him and move on from the contract. But the Leafs, they don't have to worry about anything. Every team in the league is like Nashville might lose James Neal. Anaheim's up against it. Ottawa's up against it. Pittsburgh's going to be in a tough spot, potentially, because they've got so many good players, and they have to protect a bunch of guys. The Leafs are sitting there saying, we're going to expose Martin Marincin.
No,
Go ahead, take him. We'll drive him to the airport.
But unfortunately, you've had so much pain until this year. That's why they have had nobody to expose. They started over, and all their good players are young. And they still have a window or enough spots to protect the JVR and Kadri and guys like that. But you're right. It's a great spot to be in, but unfortunately it came at a massive pain the last how many ever years you want to be.
Well, a decade.
Let's call it a decade then. But now you're in really good shape moving forward because you're right. You're going to lose a player that you really aren't attached to.
You're not too worried about it.
Exactly.
You're really not that worried about whoever they're going to lose.
I agree.
They could probably, I'm sure Lou and the Leafs are calling teams saying, listen, we can take something on.
Absolutely.
If you feel like you could be in trouble, we could get involved somehow with Vegas and maybe a three-way deal.
That's why I'm saying I think the next 2 weeks are going to be unreal. Because think of how creative you have to be as a manager. If you've got a player that you want to keep, but you've got too many that you want to keep, so you're making side deals or you're making three-way deals. Tree Living came out the other day in Calgary, said we may acquire somebody through Vegas because Vegas may make a transaction and wheel them right to us. Like, that's the type of stuff that's going on. I would be so overwhelmed,
like, if I was George McPhee, like, just to have to deal with everything.
But he's had a year to prepare. That's the scary part.
But you know what would be the most annoying part of it, though?
What?
Is the agents calling him nonstop. Because Dion's agent, let's use him as an example.
Donnie Meehan.
You would expect, let's say the Sens went to Meehan and Dion and said, listen, can you please waive?
Yeah.
My reaction if I'm Dion would be, hey, get on the horn with Vegas and find out if they're going to claim me before I make a decision. And I would think Don Meehan would be like, of course, you're my client, I'll call. And if you're McPhee, you don't have to give him an answer.
No, you don't.
But it might be in your best interest to kind of work it out. Like, okay, I'll give you this, but you got to tell me about this other thing you've heard or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
you're
this
right.
kind of politicking could be happening behind the scenes.
It's been going on for years, the politicking. And let's not pretend that Pat Brisson, Newport Sports, which is Donnie Meehan and his crew, and a handful of other super agents, they
control the whole league.
They control the league. They know exactly what's going on. Control is... They know what's...
They're in on the ground
They're in on
level.
Everything. So they knew exactly what was going to happen, that Dion was going to be asked to be waived. They know if Dion's going to be taken. They also know who Vegas covets from Ottawa's situation and somebody else, because chances are they represent that player too. Like, that's the one thing that I've noticed. And I went from an agency where I thought my agent was good, but then I switched to Newport. Like, they have the pulse of the league. You're not messing with Newport because you want to mess with Jamie McLennan's contract? Great. Guess what? Chris Pronger's contract's coming down the pike. Or Cujo. You go right down the list. These GMs will get rinsed if they start messing. Like, that's the power of having a great agent and a powerful agent.
That's exactly right.
Is you're not going to nickel and dime over player X when player Y is a guy you're worried about his deal and they can rinse you on an eight-year deal. Like, think about all the general managers that lined up in Newport's parking lot. Was that a couple years ago? Who was that even for?
I think it was Brad Richards.
Yeah, Richards, and then...
Zach Parise, I think, was there.
Stamkos has had people put in front of him.
It was Brad Richards, and it was
ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Like, Gino was doing hits from the parking lot.
Yeah.
In Mississauga.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was presentations from L.A. and the Rangers and all... All these people wooing Brad Richards, which is, I mean, he signed a massive deal and got bought out, I believe, but these agents know what's going on. So you're bang on, Brian. Like, as far as what's going on, McPhee takes that phone call from me and then goes, all right, so where are you at with Dion's situation? Because we've got to make a decision with our client, or our client wants this. Like, there's, and you're allowed to do that. I mean, I think that one of the best things the league did was move that little free agency period to the 25th, where you can nip and tuck.
Allow for people to talk.
You're allowed talking. 12:01 on July 1st, everyone's like, oh, this guy signed a five-year deal. Well, how did that come about? In 90 seconds?
Like, well, one actually believed that exactly. Everyone knew that there was collusion and it was happening anyway, so why even fight it?
I loved it. I actually like a little bit of collusion. I really do.
Well, it's going to happen regardless. I mean, it happens. Everyone knows. It does. Everyone talks to agents.
Yeah, unless you're literally tapping somebody's phone, it's happening.
It's happening, for sure. So, Bob McKenzie will join us later in the afternoon. Ray's coming up as well. Lots of news and notes in terms of what's happening league-wide now that the dust has settled. Bruce Arthur was on Naylor and Landsberg this morning. Really interesting story when he was talking to Malkin after the game.
Yeah.
A couple of nights ago, and he mentioned the Leafs, he mentioned the Oilers. We'll play that audio. We'll get into it in the 5 p.m. hour. Sam Mitchell will join us a little bit later on. The NBA season is over as well. Two nights in a row, titles going out. That's pretty cool. I mean, the cup gets handed out on Sunday night. Last night, the Warriors. I think we all expected that. I mean, looking back on it, I wish it happened in four. It didn't. People are pouncing on LeBron. He's 3-5 now in the finals. But I think you got to go look back on those teams. I did my own calculations on it earlier.
Yeah.
I have him playing on the better team, definitively on the better team, in two of the finals. Twice his team was better. The first 2 years he was with Miami. They should have beat Dallas. They didn't. They beat Oklahoma City. The second 2 years he was with Miami was up against those San Antonio teams. They were great teams.
Didn't he win one, lose one?
Won one, lost one. And Miami was a great team, but so was San Antonio. Like, that's a wash for me. Cleveland has not been better than Golden State in any of these three seasons. Not once. Golden State's been the better team all 3 years. And the first time he got there was in 07 against San Antonio, and they got swept. The Cavs weren't that good. So twice out of the eight finals, he's been on the better team, in my opinion.
Why do you have to go after him? Like, I understand he's a polarizing guy, but
that's why.
Can't you just appreciate the greatness?
I guarantee you got on the plane last night and leaned over the owner and said, get Kevin Love out of here. Get that donkey out of here.
He was brutal last night. But I wouldn't shock me if Kevin Love was a guy they tried to move on from so that they could open up space to get creative and bring in other players. Ship him out, bring Paul George in if you can, or Jimmy Butler or something like that. But look at LeBron. Like, he averaged a triple-double over five games. First player in NBA Finals history to average a triple-double. First player in NBA history to lead both teams in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks in any playoff series of any length.
It's crazy.
Any series, not the finals.
Could he have sniffed for the MVP? But you always give it to a winner, right?
Well, I thought he should have won it a couple of years ago when they lost. Iguodala ended up getting it. I thought he should have won it that year.
Durant was brilliant.
Was outstanding. Durant, look at his numbers and his efficiency, and he was unreal. But
he had a quote, like, I didn't hop on and enjoy the ride. I got it done out there.
Yeah, he wasn't exactly. He wasn't riding the coattails of anybody.
No, he did get it done.
He factored in.
But I was a little annoyed with his mother, the overplaying of the mom. I didn't like it.
She seems to really enjoy getting involved. I mean, that's become kind of a new thing in sports where you see a lot of parents doing the interviews and
Dude, it's a new wave thing. You go to a Pee Wee tournament and they win the tournament and the parents and the friends are like on the ice like they won the Stanley Cup. It's like, what? That's the way the world is now.
The
team goes out there and wins, and I understand you have a support system, and they're very important. They do a lot of things.
They're very important. They're the reason why you're there, because
you got to be selfish, because your life is, I wake up, I go to the rink, I do my work, I come home, I got to eat properly, I got to do this, and everybody else has kind of got to do all the other things. But
I don't know.
Do you really need to hop on the ice and like get that? I don't know.
I've never seen that with kids doing it.
I'm telling you what happens.
I'm not denying that it's
They happened. Go out there and they have, like it's the Stanley Cup. They're taking picks. They're out in the... It's just,
I just thought that was weird. Like, there was a lot of attention to the mom. I wanted to know who the person with the mom was. Is that a brother? Was that... Because they had no mention of this guy. This guy was just there with a giant, like, looked like diamonds and stuff. The chain was unreal. But, like, I wanted to know. They're like, there's the mom and there's the brother or the cousin or the uncle. No idea. The guy didn't say a word, just stood there. Some smile on his face. I want to know who that guy was.
The thing is, why does anyone, outside of you, why would anyone care about
who? Because the guy's on the stage leaning over to touch the trophy with the group.
I know, but when, like, the Pens were in, they had all their family in there, too. Is anyone sitting there saying, who's that guy with Sid that was standing there beside his parent? No one cares about that stuff.
It was like a team photo, and all the guys were there. Like, and then the mom and the guy, whoever this was, were, like, right in there, too. Like, there's got to be a time where he goes, okay, mom, like, I'll see you in a bit. Like, I'm going to go up, and it was just, I thought it was weird.
I don't know.
My personal opinion.
Yeah,
I thought
Durant's
it was a little bit weird.
Durant's mom was doing the rounds and interviewing, and I don't know. What are you going to say? I mean, the guy, he's going to make the call. You can't go to Durant and say, hey, tell your mom to take it easy. It's on the player. In fact, it's on the parent, first and foremost.
To let the child have their moment.
But look at, like, LeVar Doris Ball, Burke how much was, we've talked about that.
Doris Burke was like, hey, like, are we going to do this?
Yeah, she's a no-nonsense lady, man. She gets it done.
Like, well, what do you think will happen if Lonzo Ball ever wins an NBA title?
You think the dad will be right in front of
him? He'll go out and take the trophy.
I would assume LeVar Ball would be right in the middle of everything.
I think he's getting the dolphin. Like, he's soon as...
I think you're going to have to put a clamp on
that. Exactly. It's like, I've heard stories this year about people in the NHL where their parents... They're on the scene, and they're stars, and the dad wants to talk to the team about his son, and it's like, no, this is the NHL. Do not call us, and do not bring this to our attention. Because what happens is, these kids, whatever sport they're playing, they're 13 years old, and everyone starts, I got to pick the right terminology here.
Kissing their ass.
So then all of a sudden they get to the NHL and they're like, hang on a sec. I can't call the GM. I can't call the coach. Like, it's like, no. Can you imagine, like, if you played for the Toronto Maple Leafs and some dad started calling Lou Lamoriello?
I'm sure it happens, but I can't imagine Lou would allow it to happen more than once.
I think Lou would just hang up.
I think Lou would feel the call.
It would never get to him. It would never get to him.
Well, depends on who the father was. Like, if Austin Matthews...
It doesn't matter. When you're in the big leagues and you're a dad, you don't call people like that.
I hear you. But as for the media provoking it, like, LeVar Ball is a perfect example. He's a content king for people.
Yeah.
Supplies content. Will say crazy things and doesn't care. And
yeah.
I said right. He was, you know, the sports media's version of Trump.
Yeah,
because he just gets people talking. It's a clickbait kind of thing. But as for other parents going on other shows and... doing interviews, I can't understand why you would do it. I mean, we've been offered that before. Like, do you want to talk to this guy's dad? And I'm like, why would I talk to that guy's dad? Like, unless somehow the dad becomes the story or a part of the story, or there's a feel-good story, like how he escaped from something and then this, that, or the other. Okay, maybe we can make some interesting radio out of that. But let's say the Leafs ever win a Stanley Cup. Why would I have Austin Matthews' dad on to talk about that?
Yeah.
Why would we do that? I don't know why we would.
For it either.
No. With all due respect, it's not that he's not an interesting guy or whatever. Maybe he has interesting things to say. I just can't sell it to our audience that we're going to have a parent on to talk about what?
Yeah.
I just don't think
it's... Yeah, I would only talk to the dad if the story was extraordinary. Like, I played with a guy who was a Russian player who was kidnapped, and the dad helped break the son out. The guy that jumped off a third floor of an apartment building. He was kidnapped.
Dougie Gilmore style?
Yeah.
At training camp, trying to get back to the bar?
He was terrified. He was kidnapped, and they were stripped down and thrown into a room and guarded by a guy who looked like Dolph Lundgren, or whatever that guy's name. Dolph Lundgren.
Alf Dungren.
No.
Dolphy. All right, race coming up. Griff will join us ahead of the series starting tonight down at the Rogers Center. I'm usually anti-Rogers Center, but when it's raining, it's the only time you really appreciate that place. They never have rainouts.
Dude, this weather is so garbage. I'm sick of it. I already know, from my history in Toronto, when it's garbage in the beginning, it's garbage the whole time. It's garbage.
You're predicting a garbage summer, is that what you're saying?
Have you not noticed that? When it's garbage early, it just stays garbage.
Yeah, it generally is pretty consistent. Like, we had two pretty nice days, really nice days. And
heat warnings and now garbage.
And then tomorrow's going to be okay, and then Thursday's going to be awful, and apparently all weekend's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I'm getting sick, because it changes all the time. It's hot, right. Then it's cold, you're in the AC, then you're not.
Too much mulching.
I'm doing too much around the house.
The AC really does.
Are we going to break?
Yeah, Sam's coming up. We'll get back into LeBron versus the world and some reports that have already been shot down by the owner of the Warriors that the Warriors are not going to be visiting the White House. Full boycott of Trump and company.
And I have a rant about internet losers.
Okay. We'll get to that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Rays coming up in about a half an hour. Richard Griffin at 5:30 teeing up the series with the Rays in town down at the Rogers Center tonight. Jays with a chance to get back to 500. The media and the fans, we talk about 500 all the time. I've often wondered, do athletes hold any sentimental value to 500? Does it mean anything being 500 or above 500?
Like your standing wise?
Are you in the room being like, come on, let's get to 500? Like, is it a feeling like that you have?
My feeling was, if we were ever hovering around that we sucked.
Yeah, I think it's.
If your goal is to get around 500, it means you suck.
If you're 500 on the road, yes, you're in good shape. But you want to be over 600 or close to 700 at home if you could be. That's the truth.
And you have to go lights out to do anything after 500. So generally, for me, I was always on garbage teams. And it was like, we suck. We can't even be 500. We want to get to 500. Really? What does that get you? Nowadays in sports, it's like there's the Penguins, there's the Warriors. It's like, what does 500 mean? It's garbage.
500 doesn't do anything for you.
Well,
it's a number that you can point
to. You are right, Jamie. Nashville kind of hovered around.
But they didn't win. That's the point. You get in at 16th place, you get in at 8th place, like... They're great stories, but we just talked about it yesterday. Outside of Boston, there's three teams that have won the Stanley Cup in the last, 7 years, 8 years?
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, L.A., and Pittsburgh. That's it. And L.A.'s going through a transition now. And so, Chicago's trying to retool, but at some point, they're going to hit a wall. Like, they lost in the first round this year, but Pekka Rinne was brilliant. Outside of that, could have been Chicago back there.
It doesn't feel like LA is right around the corner from winning again either.
No, they've gone the other way, but they got their two cups. And
oh, they're not complaining about it.
No,
I'm not suggesting
that about it, but they have to I don't give think they're
cup
a
rings,
that's
but
going to be forcing their way back through the door again.
They're going to have to get real creative. They're going to have to do the loo.
Yeah,
met you.
There's a lot of teams that might have to do that. All right, Sam Mitchell in 2 minutes. Rob tweeting and saying, very relieved to hear that I'm not the only one who thought the whole Durant mother thing was a bit too much last night. She's a part of the team. She's the real MVP. Just ask KD.
Well, Durant was brilliant.
He was unreal. He's actually the MVP.
Yeah.
He's the real MVP is Durant. Like, actually the MVP. Here's Sam Mitchell, our NBA analyst. If you were in that room last night partying and Durant's mom was kicking around, how would you feel about that, Sam?
Guys, I learned a long time ago. You better leave mothers out of it. Guys, gonna learn. Y'all gonna learn. I know you guys are Canadians and y'all have a different sense of humor, but you know, black people don't play when you start talking about their mama
in
any shape, form, or fashion. Now, so I would tread lightly with that. Now,
yeah, you're probably
been warned.
Right. Yeah, we have enough enemies, man. We don't want. We like
yes,
having Durant
y'all
too.
Do. You know.
Have you ever had a situation where somebody's dad or mom like came in the room and had words for you or somebody else?
Probably in a positive way, never in a negative way. I've never had a player mom or dad come in and say something in a negative way. It's always been a positive encounter. So, and I think when you look at her with all the, you know, the things that were said about Kevin Durant when he made the move and he left OKC and all the negative talk from OKC about him from the fans, and I just think sometimes you feel vindicated because for Kevin Durant, you know, he didn't go there and ride the coattail of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. If it wasn't for Kevin Durant, they wouldn't be the champions today. There's no doubt in my mind that they needed him as much as he needed them. And it looked like it's a perfect marriage. And you got to give them credit, guys. They made something work. Four All-Stars sharing the basketball, playing defense, helping each other. coming together for one collective cause. And I say that there's a lot of teams that are good, but if you can't get players to play together on both ends of the floor and commit to the system and each other, then you're not going to win.
Sam, when I grew up, I watched Wayne Gretzky, and the whole idea about playing good hockey was like finesse and passing the puck and give and goes, and that's kind of what I learned to kind of try to be good at hockey. Are there kids now that are just, are they going in the gym and just trying to rip home three-pointers? Because I watched that game last night, and it was, I found it amazing how it was down the floor, three-point attempt. Like, is that the new way kids are going to look at basketball? It's like, just get to the line and try to become an awesome shooter?
Well, put it to you like this. I just came from Treviso with the European, over at the European camp, Eurocamp, and I coached a team of 17-year-olds, upcoming seniors, from Adidas, and these guys are all top 25 in the nation, and we were, in our last game, we went 2-1, in our last game, we were 3-for-31 from the three-point line. So what does that tell you? The three is here to stay. It's just ingrained in these kids as basketball players, and it doesn't matter. And my biggest guy on the team thought he was the best shooter. So what does that tell you?
Well, we saw Draymond Green just throwing up a lot of threes at times over the course of the finals, and I'm like, Cleveland will take that every day of the week.
what are you doing?
You know, the amazing thing about it, though, I laugh because when we beat Golden State last year when I was in Minnesota as the interim coach, we allowed Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green to shoot all the threes they want. Our focus was not letting Steph Curry and Klay Thompson shoot them. And, you know, we was going to live with Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes, and we won the game. So, but look, you know, everybody gets bent out of shape when a guy makes a three. This Cleveland was so focused on not giving up threes to where they just gave up layup after layup and dunk after dunk. And at some point, you got to say, look, a dunk for Kevin Durant and Draymond Green is 100% shot. Hey, I'll take my chances with that 33% shot, but teams are so afraid because, you know, in the math of things, three is greater number than two. So, but you just saw Cleveland. They just, Golden State just gutted their defense, man. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, those guys just took those layups and dunks. And ultimately, you know, Cleveland's inability to defend or get stops. It's what caused that 4-1 lopsided loss.
If you're LeBron James and you're on the plane, I said this at the start of the show, this is a guy who played his heart out and played unreal. You think in his mind he's sitting there and looking at some of the players that didn't play up to potential on his team, and he's going to have a conversation with the owner or the general manager and say, like, I'm looking at a guy like Kevin Love, saying, like, we got to move this guy out for an upgrade in that situation, or do you think he lets it settle a little bit?
Well, I think, first of all, you got to let the smoke clear and the dust settle and everybody get their emotions in check. Then you got to really look at your basketball team, where everybody's forgetting. If Cleveland makes one shot in game three, just one, down the stretch, then we would be going back to Cleveland right now for game six. You know, because that series would have possibly been tied up 2-2 with Golden State winning last night. And you going to Cleveland with game six and the way Cleveland played in game four and even the first half or stretches in game five, you would think they could win at home and you would be looking at a game seven in Golden State. But when you really look at the numbers, the bench for Cleveland was just dismal and the bench for Golden State was just unbelievable. And the difference is Tyronn Lue had a tough decision. You know, when he played Kyle Korver and Channing Frye and those guys, they gave up so much on the other end as far as rebounding and defense. But when you came in with Sean Livingston and David West and those guys, not only could they score in their comfort zone, those guys could also defend. So I think the bench was a huge bonus in Golden State favor.
With Sam Mitchell, it's been 3 years in a row, Golden State versus the Cavs in the final. As of today, I think most of the NBA world would be predicting the same thing will apply next year. Do you believe that is in the best interest of the NBA to see a fourth installment of Golden State versus Cleveland in the finals?
Well, guys, it's not about whether it's in the best interest of the NBA. That's the possibility of where we are, and it may be like that for a while. And I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, I still go back to this. You know, everybody's talking about Steph Curry, but, you know, 14 passed on Steph Curry. You know, a lot of teams passed on Klay Thompson. Draymond Green was a second-round pick. And so I'm just getting sick of people crying and complaining. Why don't they get their butt in the gym, these players, and get better? No one saw this with Steph Curry. I remember during the draft when people said he was too slow and there was nothing special about him other than shooting when he came out to college. They didn't think he could play the one. They thought he was too small to play the two. And his only attribute was being able to shoot from the outside. And no one saw this ball-handling ability, the toughness. And for that baby face that Steph Curry has, people forget he averaged 6 rebounds a game last year. And he's a rebounder. He plays tough defense. He gives up his body. So, you know, it's time for general managers and management to get off their duffs and start scouting and then put the onus on the players to get in the gym and work on their game and get better. And for these coaches to implore that their teams play more together on offense and defense, move the ball, set screens, and play more team basketball instead of everybody worrying about, this is my team, my guys. It just makes me want to throw up when guys come to the podium and they start talking about my guys. You know, last time I checked, I played for the Timberwolves. There's not a player on that team when I played that I actually played for. I played for them all, but the name I played for was on the front of the jersey was Timberwolves, not the guy on the name with the name on the back of the jersey.
Right. Well, and that's what a lot of people have been pointing out recently, like the super team in Golden State. Yeah, Kevin Durant joined them, but everyone else was drafted by them. I mean, they exactly. drafted that team.
And not only drafted, but developed. You know, no one saw this coming. Steph Curry, I'm telling you. Look, Minnesota thought so little of Steph Curry, they took Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio ahead of him. So think about that. So think about that. No right. one tried to move. I guarantee you, at the fifth pick, someone could have moved up to take Steph Curry. But no one did.
Mm-hmm.
So for teams to sit around and cry and talk about super teams, Golden State, yeah, Kevin Durant, you know, he joined them as a free agent. But before that, people forget, they won 73 games, they won the championship the year before, and they were up 3-1 in the finals without Durant. And this with a Steph Curry who has suffered a serious knee injury in the latter part of the season.
Well, Sam, we're going to let you go. I was going to try to learn to shoot the three, but apparently, according to your guys' stats, I don't want you to be teaching me.
3 for 31. Holy
I'll get somebody else to teach me, pal.
And we kept telling them, we kept reminding them of how bad we were shooting. But, guys, it's just a part of the game now. It's not going anywhere. I like the addition of the game. I think look, when I play, you guarded guys from the three-point line in. Now the game is more difficult. There's a lot more space you have to guard because guys' range, they're shooting with so much more range to where now you got to guard from 30 feet in, and it makes it difficult. That's why you see the scoring the way you see it because, you know, we used to all have 10 guys inside the three-point line. Now you have 7, 6 of those guys outside the three-point line, and it's just more space and more real estate to defend.
Always appreciate the time. Thank you for doing it, Sam.
All right, guys.
Sam Mitchell, our NBA analyst.
He's on point.
I can remember when they made the decision to bring in Steve Kerr. I was like, he was in the booth, wasn't he?
It's a very NBA move because Mark Jackson did it the year before.
But right when it first happened, I was like, what the hell are you doing? Why do you think that he's a good coach or can be a good coach? Like, there's no sample size. But I think the guy's brilliant. Just the way he handles his team. And
yeah.
you saw during the finals some of the communication. And even during the game, like, how many coaches in the NBA, he sits down and is calm the whole time?
Yeah, he sits in a chair.
I know he's got issues, health issues, but
Phil Jackson used to be like that, too. It was kind of weird.
Just sitting in a chair, kind of on the bench.
Yeah, like, he's kind of just chilling out.
But to manage those personalities, and that's probably the biggest thing for him with that team, as far as X's and O's, he just seems like a brilliant coach.
Well, you talk about a guy that had the opportunity to go down two different paths. He was offered the job with the Knicks when Phil Jackson first came aboard, and he turned the Knicks down to go to Golden State.
Yikes.
I would say probably made the right call. Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes, and we'll get back into the NBA in this report that maybe the Warriors are going to skip out on the White House visit next year. And the Jays in action tonight with Tampa in town. Richard Griffin will join us, help us tee up the series. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
All right, Ray's coming up, and Griff teeing up the series with Tampa in town tonight.
And we're going to get to my internet rant of losers.
All right, we'll get to that and what Bruce Arthur had to say about what Malkin had to say about two teams in the NHL chasing down the Pittsburgh Penguins. This will get Noodles fired up. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.